Okay, good evening, everyone. I hope tonight's reception will be better than last night's. Okay, so I want to continue with some of the ideas that we've been talking about, things that involve possible questions of binyan, of building or fixing or the like in the house. So the halacha says that a person is allowed to hang up a curtain on Shabbos. Let's say you want to divide a room. You have somebody sleeping over, and you gave him your child's bedroom and said your child's going to sleep on the couch. So for a little, to make it a little bit more private and you know, a little bit more of a tzura of a place to sleep, you want to put up, you have a pole that you could put up like a tension rod and a curtain on it. So, well, let's just start. Let's even start with the case where the rod is up and everything. It's just a question of putting up the curtain. So that is mutter to do. In fact, the curtain is mutter to put up even if it's going to stay for a long time, for a very long time, even if you plan on leaving it there, because a curtain, the Shulchan Aruch says, is it's not a real mechitza. It doesn't, you know, it goes back and forth. You push it to one side, to the other side. You just push it away to get by. So that's not considered a real addition to the structure of the house. But if you're putting it up, however, to put up a rod, which you're going to leave there permanently in order to put on a curtain, then that would not be okay. The rod itself is an addition. Just like we mentioned the other night, that you're allowed to, if you have a nail on the wall, you're allowed to place a picture on the nail or take a picture off of the nail, because the picture is not considered a chelek, a part of the house. So just like, again, we said the brackets of a window shade is you couldn't put those up on Shabbos. Once the brackets up, then are up already, then, you know, certain types of window shades which just go in and out easily, you'd be allowed to put up and down. Okay, so getting back here, the rod itself, you shouldn't be put up if it's going to be left there, if it's meant to stay there as a permanent structure, but the curtain can. But if it's a rod that you just get rid of this. Yeah, if it's a rod that you put up when you need, like a case like this, you want the curtain for the overnight, and it doesn't stay there. It's not even going to stay there the entire Shabbos because it doesn't really belong there. It's just at night when it doesn't bother anybody and it helps, you put it up. So that's okay. Even if you put it up with the rod and took it down, would be okay. Similarly, a shower rod should not be put up on Shabbos. If you know, and let's say the rod came down, a tension rod or that type of thing, which typically stays there. If it could stay there for months or even longer. So that should not be put up on Shabbos. That's similar to the nail, but if you could put you could attach the shower curtain without taking the rod down. Even though, say, you have these plastic hooks over the shower curtain, and over the shower rod, and the curtain just hooks, you know, you put the holes of the curtain just go on the hook, that's okay, because the curtain itself is, like I mentioned before, is no different than the curtain in the house itself. That a curtain is something which is not, it's not a substantial type of a divider or wall. It's just you push it back and forth, and so that's okay to do. Certainly a paroches on an Aron Kodesh is permissible to put up there. It's not a partition at all, typically. I mean, if you have doors, if you had no doors, then it would be maybe more of a partition, but still be okay. It's still okay to do because it's no different than the other curtains. But certainly if you have a door to the Aron Kodesh and just putting a curtain in front of it for looks, for appearance, for you know, for chashivas and kavod haTorah, that is for sure okay to do. Now, there's a discussion about, let's say, the rod, the little rod that holds a roll of toilet paper. You have, like in many houses, you have a tension rod. There's something built into the house, into the brickwork or the to the cement of the bathroom, and something that you know, this white thing with a hole on either side of it, the two arms sticking out with a hole on either side, and it holds a rod in between. So the white thing, which is part of the building, that's part of the building. But the rod itself is designed to go up and down, because when the roll of paper gets used, you need to take the rod off and replace the paper. So now you could argue and say, well, I'd rather that doesn't happen. Meaning, the only reason why I need to take it down is because inevitably the paper runs out. But it's not really, one might argue that it's not the hishtamshus of the rod to go up and down. It's just behechrich when you're forced to replace the paper, so you take it down. So one might argue that putting that up is also, it's really be'etzim part of the house. But most poskim say not like that. Most poskim say that since lamaisa, it is used in that fashion, that it's constantly or frequently taken down, put up. It's designed that way. That's the expectation. Nothing else was expected when they, you know, built the house that way to hold this rod. It was expected that you'll use a rod which you could easily put in and remove. So you're allowed to do that. That's what most of the poskim say. Now, obviously, you can't use regular toilet paper anyway on Shabbos, so it's not a question of doing it to replace the roll or anything on Shabbos. But let's say there is no roll there, but the rod came down, fell down, and you want it to, that's where it belongs. You don't want it to get lost, or in general, you want it to be there. The house looks incomplete if it's missing. So as I said, most posts can say it's okay to put that back. It's not considered a part of the house. It's something that functions to go up and down. But this is a similar idea would be and this is something that also happens with too much frequency, perhaps, is the removing the toilet tank covers. You have a toilet tank, and there's made a ceramic toilet tank, and there's a cover on top. Now this is really a somewhat of a different shaila that involves different concepts of in that the toilet tank is a dover that is mechuba lekarka. The toilet tank itself is considered part of the house. And the question is, are you allowed to replace a cover, take off or put on a cover on something that is mechuba lekarka, in a keli that's mechuba lekarka? And it depends sometimes on, it could depend on whether it has a handle or not. The bottom line by the toilet tank cover is many poskim say it is mutter based on the details of the halacha as delineated in Siman Shin Yud Gimel, that many say it is mutter to lift off that cover if you needed to. Like, so sometimes the mechanism inside the tank isn't working so well, and when you push the flusher piece, you don't get any results. So you have to put your hand in, or it would be, the way to do it would be to put your hand inside the tank and just lift up the rubber stopper itself and let the water refill. Now let me be clear, you cannot fix the mechanism. During the week, what you would probably do is take off the tank and try to fix the whatever's wrong inside. Sometimes it just slipped off. There's the different pieces there. Probably everybody knows what I'm talking about. You've probably seen the inside of it. But there are these pieces. One piece slips off from the other one, and then the chain slips off from the lever, or whatever it is. So during the week, you would try to hook it back, unless something's really broken or bent out of shape, and then you have to have it replaced. But often it just slips out every once in a while. So during the week, you would fix it. At Shabbos, you should not do that. You should not fix it. You should not fix the mechanism, but you could just do it by hand, as I said. So the shiloh that I'm discussing, that poskim say, is, by and large, the poskim say is mutter, is to take off the tank cover and to replace the tank cover. That's its own separate shiloh, as I said, because it's considered, it's covering a keli, it's mechuba to the karka, but nonetheless, because of it's designed to come on and off, and the way it's structured, you're allowed to do that. And then, as I said, just use your hand to lift the rubber stopper from the bottom, and this way the thing the water empties out and then hopefully refills. One more case which is not okay, and I might have mentioned it yesterday, or certainly mentioned something similar yesterday, is, let's say, a doorknob. If a doorknob would come off on Shabbos, a doorknob that's typically on and its functions, and maybe it was getting loose, and lo and behold, it came off on Shabbos. Either it came out in your hand when you were trying to open the door, or somebody somebody knocked it off, whatever it is. But the doorknob came off, and the expectation is that you'll be able to replace it and screw it back into place, tighten it back, and it'll stay. So that cannot be done in Shabbos, even to put it in loosely. If it's the type of thing that is meant to be, it's not meant to be used loosely. It's meant to be tightened and fastened there so that it stays in place and functions. So that you can't do. If it's the type of thing that it doesn't stay on, it never stays on. The only way to use it is you put it in place when you need it and use it to turn the mechanism, and then it comes off right away. And that's the way it's always used. And it's not fixable. If it's not fixable, then you're allowed to do that. Then it's like a key. You're allowed to put a key in the door and turn the lock, turn the I forget whatever that piece is called in the lock, and whether to open it, whether to lock it. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos and then take the key out. We don't say that putting the key in, you've attached something to the house, because the key is not a chelik of the house. The key is just something that you use to it's to use the house. So the doorknob theoretically could become like a key if it's a piece that does not stay on. It's really not fixable. So then to just put it in place and turn and then it comes off again would be okay. But something which is not that way, it's the intention is to fix. It just broke off. It doesn't mean it's the first time it ever broke off, but it's not the way it functions day in, day out. It broke. It needs to be, or it got loose and it needs to be screwed back, fastened, tightened into place. So using it on Shabbos, even loosely, even just to put it there on Shabbos and without tightening it, would not be mutter, because there's a concern, a gezeira, that you might come to, to fasten it in place. That's similar to what I mentioned last night about a faucet. If a faucet would come off, the sink handle or any of those things, those would not be allowed to be put back into place, even loosely, even without screwing them in. They would not be able to, would not be mutter to do that on Shabbos. If you had to turn the water, and you don't the screw the handle is off, the faucet handle is off, you could take a screwdriver, or the same thing with the door. You could take or pliers, which things which are normally not handled on Shabbos. But if it's the it's the type of muksa, if it's the only if it's the if you need it for a permissible purpose such as this, and it's the only practical thing you have to use, you don't have anything non-muksa, totally non-muksa, that you could use for this job, then you'd be allowed to use it, whether it's a screwdriver or a pliers. If it's the only practical thing to turn the door handle, to turn the water so you can get out water, you'd be allowed to do that for the duration of Shabbos and then fix it after Shabbos. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, and looking forward to continuing the Be'ezus Hashem next week. Kol tov.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.